I don't know about you, but I always just get excited on Sunday morning, especially when I get here and people start coming in. It's just like a family reunion every Sunday, and this Sunday is no different. Sundays when we have baptisms, potlucks, special things, I don't know. I just get excited. This is kind of what I live for. Last week, we were talking about Christ coming, and we ended with Galatians 4, 4 through 5. And I want to just kind of start with that as my opening slash introduction. It says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." You know, it's kind of interesting, this verse, the fullness of time. So oftentimes, we want things done on our timetable, right? Which is basically like right now, right? We want that next big thing to be right now. And I think that's just part of being human. It's also part of being impatient, which humans naturally tend to be. Quick question. Is anybody a parent? Anybody raise children? Raise your hand if you have a child. Okay. Now, keep your hands up for a second. Actually, put your hands down. Just raise your hand back up again if your child was born patient. No? None of them. Okay. Yeah, it just doesn't seem to be something that we're born with. Patience is not easy. Waiting on God's timing can often feel like experiencing God's rejection. And I think, you know, looking back at last week's sermon about the anticipation of Christ, sometimes we can feel like when God is saying, "Hey, you need to wait," we feel like He's saying, "I don't care about you. I've forgotten about you," or different things like that. We interpret God's long-suffering or God's patience for God's rejection. There's a verse in Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." And so oftentimes in our life, we experience that, right? We get excited about something happening, about we hope this, we hope this, we hope this, and we have this high expectation, and then it doesn't come to fruition the way that we wanted it to. And we get discouraged. We get frustrated. We get weary. What do we do when the best outcome doesn't come to fruition? When people fail us, especially when we really needed them to step up? What do we do when evil seems to have the upper hand? Maybe you've never experienced that. I'm guessing you have. The interesting thing is, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And what I want us to take from that is that when we are going through struggles and trials, tribulations, and we often feel like I'm alone and I don't know what to do, we need to recognize that that feeling is not what God's Word teaches. We are not alone. God is there with us. And we have Him as an example. Christ came into the world that was full of darkness, full of oppression, full of evil. In John 9:5, He said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." That's an amazing thing to think about. Jesus recognized why he was here. He came into this world knowing it was full of darkness, but not overwhelmed by it, not discouraged by it, knowing that he had a job to go into the darkness and to be the light. He didn't look for somebody else to solve his problems. He didn't look for somebody else to come in and save the day. He knew that he was there to be the light of the world. Rather than fear or submission to evil, he shined the light of love. John 8:12 says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Not only did God not get swallowed up by darkness, but his light provides a path for us to walk in this world. Christ followed the will of the Father. He came to earth to do God's will. And he did it. And as he did it, he showed us how we could do the same. He taught us through his example how to live our life. And so we can see here in this example of Christ coming how the light overcomes the darkness. 1 John 5:5 says, "Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" You know, it's easy. It is easy to get discouraged when hard times come, when injustice prevails, when you know the right thing is not what happened. It's easy to want to give up. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to put your hope in a politician to make everything right. It's easy to put your hope in your spouse that they're going to fix the problem, that they're going to change themselves. It's easy to put your hope in your children. They won't make the same mistakes I did. They'll do it better. It's easy to put your hope in your parents. They'll provide, they'll come through, they'll cover up my mistakes for me. It's easy to put your hope in your finances. We can just pay for it. We can just put it on the credit card. One day they'll change and everything will be better. It's easy to put your hope in the future. It's okay. It'll work out eventually. Right? It's easy to put our hope in things because we can see things. We know the future is going to come. We know the people will be there. But only those who put their hope in the Lord are the ones who will overcome. Everyone who has a spouse know that at some point in time they're going to let you down. I got the most awesome wife, and sad to say, even she's let me down once or twice.
But only once or twice.
Only once or twice. That I'll admit to. And I might not even admit to that, but I already said it, so too late. Okay. The reality is even the best politician is just one person in a system. Even his best efforts is not necessarily going to change things. The only answer to how do we overcome evil in this world is to put our hope in God. And that's what Christ exemplified. He didn't come to earth looking for somebody else to solve the problem. He recognized the problems and he said, "I'm going to go and make a difference. I'm going to go and be the light. I'm going to go and show people how to live." And then he gave us the opportunity to be a part of that. Through his death on the cross, he allowed us to have a relationship with him, to bring us into the light, so that we could not, so that we could walk in the light as well and not walk in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That same light that conquered death, that same light that established righteousness, that same light that endured temptation is now available to you today. And you don't have to be afraid of the darkness. You don't have to be afraid of your circumstances or your situation, the trials ahead or the trials behind. The darkness is there, but now you not only have the light, you are the light. God has made you to become partakers of the light, so that now you can go out into the world of darkness and shine the light of the gospel. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what an amazing thing that you have done. Lord, we are so used to looking to people to solve our problems. We're so used to hiring people, electing people, just looking for other people who can take our dirty laundry and try and clean it up. But Lord, you have shown us there is one way, and that is you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to overcome darkness is through your gospel and through your Son's coming and death on the cross. Lord, we have access to that salvation. And not only can we receive salvation, Lord, but now we have a mission from you to walk in this world and to be the light of the world. As other people are in darkness, discouraged, frustrated, overwhelmed, Lord, you have given us this amazing task to walk in faith, to walk in trust, to walk in hope of you, and then to share that hope with others. And Lord, I pray that at this time of the year, a wonderful, beautiful time, let us be about that task. Let us be about sharing with others the great love that you have for us that can change the world, and just as important, can change their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.